Don't worry, I'll make it snappy. Hey, right now, our spring match giving campaign, no retreat. We have every intention of standing firm, proclaiming the gospel more loudly than ever to more people than ever. It's a match giving campaign. If and you are not yet a gospel partner, this would be a really good time, and it would really help us advance our proclamation of the gospel. The campaign is called No Retreat. It is a match and gift campaign, and you can participate at FortisInstitute.org/donate.
Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I want to mourn the old trees and tell them that we love them.
I've looked at clear cuts and burnt forest, and I felt outraged.
We are the crowning glory of God's creation, and all of nature was made for us. Nature is more productive because of us, not less.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You be the judge.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Order in the court.
This is Wretched Radio, hoping you're prepared to play one of America's fastest growing game sensations. That's right. Oh, the ratings on this. Huge. Which story is most disturbing? That's right. A slew, and I mean a slew, a veritable slew of stories. You have to determine which one is most disturbing. And you say, well, how can we do that when this is kind of a one-way communication affair? Well, don't you fret. We have a federal head just for you. His name, handsome Jimmy Hicks. Sir, are you prepared to play federal head and represent the tens and tens of people listening to this here Wretched Radio program as we play, what do we call it? Which one of these is most disgusting or something like that?
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready.
Really?
Yeah,
you're ready?
Absolutely.
Uh-huh. And what exactly did you do to prepare for this moment? Stretch? Was there any fasting involved?
No.
Prayer closet.
That's it.
You're just generally ready.
Look, I'm always ready to judge.
That's true. It is your spiritual gift. Mine too. I think a lot of us have this gift, frankly. It's kind of a gift I wish I didn't have. Because, you know, Jimmy, to resist the temptation when you're actually always right, it's just a burden.
It is.
It's a yoke. And sometimes it's heavy. Let's play which story is most disturbing. You ready?
Oh, these are all so bad.
Oh, I don't even. Okay, here we go. You're going to say, well, wait a second. Why is this particular story so bad? Well, it's bad because of the results of it. Are you familiar with a fellow named Paul Ehrlich? He was a doomsayer. He made predictions going back to his population bomb book. Oh, it was just all the rage because he was prophesying that the world is basically going to end if we don't deal with this climate change business. Well, he recently died at the age of 93, and people have taken a look at his predictions. He got everything wrong. Everything. Every single prediction. For instance, in the 70s and 80s, hundreds of millions of people will starve to death from mass famine. Didn't happen. We're doing better, by the way, when it comes to feeding the population explosion that we're seeing on the planet. Contrary to what the doomsdayer said, we've figured out a way to just make more food. Now, I'm not saying there aren't any issues to discuss with GMOs, but in fact, Jimmy, you would appreciate this. Watch kind of a farming document. I guess it was more of a movie. It was Christopher Walken.
Oh, Christopher Walken. Yeah, yeah.
Is that
yeah.
how you say it, Walken?
Yeah.
Yeah, normally he's kind of known as, you know, kind of like a creepy character. Well, he was a farmer in Canada, and on his land, he was being accused by Monsanto of stealing their proprietary work when it came to GMOs. Well, what had happened is the other farmers had been using those seeds and the fertilizer, and it got blown into his land. He would collect the seeds and he would use the ones that produced the most. Well, it turns out they did produce the most. And so they tried to sue him and shut him down for using their trademarked work their patented work. Well, he was ignorant in that he had done it. Nevertheless, it went to court over GMOs and the fertilizer that gets used. And it's worth watching because it is an important conversation. There is a tension here. How do you feed this many people? Because if you look at crop production, courtesy of GMOs and pesticides, you just can't argue it. We can make more food. On the other hand, all those chemicals we're putting into our body and all the gut issues that seem to be proliferating, it's a good conversation starter on those issues. Well, if you were Paul Ehrlich, you would think everybody was going to starve. It turns out human beings with their ingenuity found a way to actually feed people. He claimed the U.S. population in 1999 would be about 22 million because there was going to be a great die-off. How's about in 1970? The Earth was on the verge of a catastrophic marine mortality event, stating, in 10 years, all important animal life in the sea will be extinct. Jimmy, you've been on a cruise?
A couple, yeah.
Yeah, all the animal life in the sea extinct?
No.
Large areas of coastline will have to be evacuated because of the stench of dead fish, he said. Now, okay, I was going to make a New Jersey joke, but that would not be very polite to do that. That ain't happening. There are some coastlines, I grant you, but it ain't from a bunch of dead fish. In 1969, he placed a high probability on the likelihood that England would not exist by the year 2000. Well, I don't think that I actually was in England in the 2000s. That's when Ray Comfort took us on that death march through Europe, where we had to do like a gazillion cities in 6 days or something very Ray Comfort-like. I went to London. What is the name of the town? It's Pilgrim's Progress. John Milton. Where he was in jail. And his little daughter, I think her name was Susie. She would bring the shoelaces that the kids and mom... No, he would make the shoelaces. She would bring them back to the mom and to the kids so they could sell them to buy food, which then they would make, and little Susie would bring it to dad in the prison, who would then give her the shoelaces. Are you looking it up? Please help me from this nightmare that I'm stuck in. It was a really groovy little town. England is still there. That's the point. Ehrlich said, if current trends continue, by the year 2000, the UK will simply be a small group of impoverished islands inhabited by some 70 million hungry people, of little or no concern to the other 5 to 7 billion inhabitants of a sick world. Well, which is it, dude? His numbers were all over the place, talking about mass extinction. We could lose all of Florida. What? Now, see, Florida, I could understand it happening because it's so flat. It would take about a teaspoon of extra water in the ocean to just wash over the entire state. I'm telling you, tables wish they were as flat as Florida. But it's still there. Washington, D.C., Los Angeles. It's all going to be gone. He convinced millions of Westerners not to have kids. That is what makes this story so disturbing. This is from Not the Bee. They shared a quote from the Wall Street Journal Opinion, quote, from one individual reading about Ehrlich's death. I was a college student when I read Mr. Ehrlich's The Population Bomb. I took it to heart and now have no grandchildren. But 50 years later, the population has increased to 8 billion without dire consequences. I was gullible and stupid. This was a guy from Woodbury, Minnesota. That's what makes this story so disturbing. Bad policies have bad impact. Bad worldviews have bad results. When people forward these horrible ideas without any real, genuine science to support them, it hurts people, and we're seeing that today. In Western civilization, we aren't making babies. Now, is this the only cause? No, it certainly isn't. I think there's a lot of other causes that contribute, but this one isn't small. How do I know? Because I've talked to enough young people who have literally said, don't think we should be having kids, you know, with the climate change and everything. It's real. Jimmy, what was it? Bedford? No. Man, what was the name of the town?
The only thing that I'm finding is London. I have...
No.
Yeah, that's all that's telling me.
You got a bad AI machine.
I think so.
Where was he actually... Where was he imprisoned in Great Britain?
Marlowe?
No.
Or Manchester?
No.
Hmm.
No, not right. What good is AI if it can't tell us something this simple? It could be Bedford.
Okay.
Try Bedford.
All right.
Hmm. Were you even paying attention to story number one?
I was.
Story number two, it's a brief one. See what book of the Bible comes to mind when you hear this one. Florida teen admits to murdering a sex offender, cutting him up, and putting remains in a suitcase. You say, that's really disturbing. I don't think it's something that is a pandemic, but it could be. In that, when you read the book of Judges, this was the act, this is the culminating act in the book of Judges. Because if you recall the cycle in the book of Judges, the people would be naughty, God would send trouble to them. What would they do? They'd cry out, God would send a judge, they'd repent, and oops, they'd forget, and round the cycle went. Culminating ultimately with the killing of a concubine, and then the individuals in the town responded by saying the best thing that we can do with the body of the concubine is to cut her in pieces and send her off to the other 11 tribes in Israel to get them to deal with the people who killed this concubine. And you go, that's just nuts. And that is what happens when every man is a judge. They do what is right in their own eyes without some sort of internal restraint system in America. I'm not saying we're going to see a lot of people getting cut up and put in suitcases, but I am saying behavior won't get better. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Seriously, I mean it. Thank you so much for being a part of what we do here at Fortis Institute, not just with Wretched Radio, but with all of our other content that we're producing on a daily basis. Whatever keeps you coming back and showing up, we don't take that lightly. There is a reality about all of this, and that's that producing daily radio like Wretched takes resources. It takes studio time, equipment, staff, distribution, and it all adds up. And the reason that we are able to continue doing this at the level that we've been doing it is because of our gospel partners. Men and women just like you who have linked arms with us and give to this ministry so that we can stay on the air and reach more people in more places all over the world. And so if our ministry has ever been a source of encouragement for you, would you consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner? You can get all of the answers to all of the questions that you likely have at FortisInstitute.org right now. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Is it possible a Christian university can actually be ranked high when it comes to preparing students for the real world? Hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. Courses, diplomas, degrees, they can be achieved online or, of course, on their beautiful campus in Southern California. Would you like to learn more about the Masters University to prepare you or your child for the future? I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Important dates in Christian history. 1206. Francis of Assisi renounces wealth and goes on to lead a band of poor friars preaching the simple life. The 13th century saw the rise of a number of monastic orders dedicated to simple living and social engagement.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Cuthbert Street, to be exact. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, your AI machine is kafritz, man. I just typed it into my little Google system here. Bedford. He lived in Bedford.
Okay.
On Cuthbert Street.
Oh, you got his address. Wow.
I was at his house.
You have a powerful AI.
It was actually a museum. I'm sorry for sharing. This might be a part of You Be the Judge, a disgusting story. We were there. We were filming kind of a tour of the different reformer sites, and we visited Bedford. Really, when you think like, oh, that's like a really one of them adorable British towns, that would be Bedford. Went out to the place where they say that it was his home or it was a museum. And I was sitting on a fence and I was supposed to be talking about John Bunyan. And some birds flew over that had apparently that very morning, had been to a church blueberry pancake breakfast. And they strafed me right across my lap. Remember it vividly. Why? Because I had light-colored pants on. So what do? You just shoot from the waist up and you carry on because Ray Comfort was just relentless. Get to the next country. Get to the next town. You know how Ray is. Did I mention this is Wretched Radio? That would be disgusting story number three, but I don't think it compares to our others. Jimmy's story number one, Paul Ehrlich. When you don't have reality fixed in your mind, an understanding of how things work, and you don't submit yourself to God, your thinking gets increasingly out there, untethered. Paul Ehrlich predicting death and doom because of the climate. And what was the result? People didn't have babies. It is a contributing factor to the decreasing birth rate in Western civilization. I find that pretty disgusting. Here's another example. This is story number three for you, Jimmy.
Okay.
Well, actually, I'm not going to feel too sad because I'm not a Minneapolis boy. I'm a St. Paul boy. There's a big difference, don't you know? Although St. Paul, man, I'm telling you, what happened to St. Paul? Bad leadership. That's what happened. Cities crumble with bad leadership. People stop having babies from bad philosophies and worldviews. And how's about people are going to get more diseases in Minneapolis? Back in 1988, the city council decided no more bathhouses. That's right, up until 1988. Well, today's city council, of course, they've done got smarter, and so they are considering legalizing venues where adults can engage in those acts. And it's the reasoning behind it that just makes it, it's like, okay, well, this is just dumb on full display here. The Minneapolis Health Department and other public health organizations acknowledge this ordinance is no longer, it's the ordinance that forbids this type of behavior, no longer the tool needed to promote public health. That was the reason. In fact, in 1988, the individual on the city council, the first openly gay council member in Minneapolis in 1988, was one who pushed for the ban. Why? Because he had AIDS. And he wanted to make sure other people didn't, because he understood that's how the disease is transmitted from one to the other, to the other, to the other. It was a gay city councilman. But today we're smarter than that. And here it is, social science research. Get ready for this. This is just woke in a disgusting manifestation. Social science research tells us that commercial sex spaces, Jimmy, commercial sex spaces.
Yeah.
They're not bathhouses. Commercial sex spaces. I can't even imagine how that functions or operates, or is it a brothel? They say like gay saunas are important for promoting safer sex practices. I guess that's the only place where safer sex can take place is in a sauna, enhancing HIV prevention. So in other words, my people, I'm so sorry for the any of these details. They're so sordid. What I'm trying to say is about group activities at these places. That's what they will facilitate here. That's going to help the HIV rate go down, because that's what social science says. I wonder if Paul Ehrlich was on that committee before he did, because that's really good social science. And increasing access to testing and treatment. These spaces, not only that, here comes the wokeism, enhance feelings of identity, camaraderie, authenticity, and belonging, where people can overcome isolation and develop a sense of community and pride. Okay. See, we are so set on making sure that the individual feels good about him or herself, even though we know better, even though we know that this is bad for people, we will say, we will actually facilitate it for you, because we are so myopic in our worldview in that we think that everything is about you, 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 you've got to be able to do what you want. Everything is about you. We'll let you participate in risky behavior. Not to mention what it does to the community around it, what it does to society, what it does for medical costs. All of these ideas trickle and roll downhill. That's inevitable. And a society that doesn't have a correct understanding of Imago Dei, it's more important that we do things for people that are better for them rather than letting them have their own way, because sometimes their own way is detrimental even to themselves. Jimmy, that's story number three.
Okay.
Minneapolis. Story number four. Also, actually kind of a little bit has to do with Minneapolis. A Finnish research, another study. There's been study after study. It says that transitioning kids does not help mental health. In fact, it makes it way worser. Gender-referred adolescents show high psychiatric morbidity. Gender differences and mental health trajectories after medical gender reassignment remain poorly understood. And yet, in Minneapolis, they want to fire them back up again. Here's the statistics. They're a little complicated, but this is a simplified version. Mental health among boys who were castrated and injected with estrogen rose from 10 to 60%. The next time somebody says to you, we've got to allow this for mental health reasons, 10 to 60% for boys. For girls who had similar acts done to them, went from 22 to 55%. Please note, other studies include suicide rates increase among minors after states allow them access to puberty blockers. Males who take cross-sex hormones like estrogen increase their risk of heart disease by 93%. 95% of women in their 20s taking cross-sex hormones, they develop pelvic floor dysfunction, which usually only happens to postmenopausal women. Suicide rates among men doubled after, well, a procedure that they do to them. Suicide risk increases 12 times for those receiving gender-affirming operations. Oxford study of 100,000 people showed that same-sex operations increased mental disorders. Europe is actually banning them. Minneapolis and America promoting them, and they want your tax dollars to pay for them. That's story number four. Here's story number five. Which one is the most disturbing?
Yes,
is
that the one? Yeah. That's it.
All right. Jaden Ivey, are you familiar with this guy? Made a personal video because the Bulls, the basketball team that he plays for, they were going to have a pride night.
The world can proclaim LGBTQ. They proclaim Pride Month in the NBA. They proclaim it. They show it to the world. They say, come join us for Pride Month to celebrate unrighteousness.
That was the word that got him in trouble right there. So they waved him. He's gone. By the way, video surfaced of this guy. He's out in the street doing some street preaching. I don't know if it's good or bad, but he's out there doing open air preaching, which is amazing. And so he lost his job because of that post. And then it was, I don't know why, that the Patriots head coach, Mike, is it Vrabel?
Yeah, Mike Vrabel.
Yeah. He said, well, you know, they got to get re-educated. I want people to have free speech, but they got to get re-educated. Well, it's one or the other, sir. So there's story number four. He calls it something disgusting. And so in a tolerant fashion, they can him. Jimmy, that's story number five.
You be the judge.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Order in the court.
Which story is most disturbing?
Yeah. I'm going to wait till you.
Can you please make it snappy?
It's going to be story number three.
Number three. Minneapolis considers legalizing venues where adults can be frisky.
Yeah.
Bad worldviews, bad consequences. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. A massive Finnish study confirms what common sense already basically told us, and that's that transitioning children doesn't fix their mental health problems. Research found that psychiatric morbidity among boys given estrogen skyrocketed from 10% to 60%. Girls who underwent mastectomies saw their mental health issues jump from 22% to 55%. Yet despite mounting evidence, Children's Minnesota announced on Monday that it would be resuming puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones for minors after a brief pause. A federal court vacated the Trump administration's restrictions, and the hospital wasted no time contacting families to let them know the assembly line is back in operation. The Supreme Court is finally confronting a constitutional question that should have been settled decades ago. Does being born on American soil automatically make you a citizen? The Trump administration says no, at least not if neither parent is a legal resident. The case has exposed China's lucrative birth tourism industry, where companies charge up to $80,000 to fly pregnant women to California, deliver in American hospitals, and fly home with a U.S. passport. The 14th Amendment was written to protect the children of freed slaves, not create a backdoor citizenship program for Beijing. After nearly a decade of legal persecution, pro-life journalist David Daladin is finally free. The last criminal charge against him has been dismissed, and his case is completely expunged. Daladin, if you remember, exposed Planned Parenthood clinics for selling aborted baby parts for profit. California saw those undercover videos and decided the real criminal was the guy holding the camera. The prosecution began under surprise. Then Attorney General Kamala Harris, which tells you everything you need to know. Microsoft co-founder Bill Gates will be testifying before the House Oversight Committee in June regarding his relationship with Jeffrey Epstein. Gates says he never witnessed or participated in any illegal conduct, though he has admitted to affairs and apologized for what he calls a huge mistake in spending time with Epstein. That's the understatement of the year. A Connecticut hospital is being sued after a patient died in what the lawsuit calls a fake ICU, staffed not by on-site physicians, but by doctors watching monitors remotely. An ICU with remote telehealth doctors. And political violence has reached the anti-AI movement. An assailant fired 13 rounds into an Indianapolis councilman's front door over a data center dispute while his 8-year-old son slept inside. There is no policy disagreement that I can think of that would justify anything like that at all. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. Both can be done at FortisInstitute.org. And don't forget, you can also subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Books of the Bible. The prophet Jeremiah preached judgment and repentance to Judah for more than 40 years. He was mocked, beaten, and imprisoned. But in the end, God's judgment came upon Judah. When you hold fast to the word of God, you will be heartbroken, mocked, and even persecuted. But let Jeremiah remind you that every word of God will prove true. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Sorry about this.
Fuego, 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 fuego. Fuego, 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 fuego. Fuego, 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 fuego. Fuego purificador.
This is Wretched Radio. Oh, again? Sorry about that. Was on my way looking for the Church's One Foundation for church news. What do I stumble into? It said in my little sound file, dealy, my thingy here, Fuego song. Now, what is the Fuego song? Well, here's the answer. It's a worship service. No manipulation going on here. Don't judge. Spontaneous worship. You know what? We should do this with a different word. Fire always tends to be a favorite word of these ecstatic worship services. Jimmy, think of a different... Fire really isn't a theological word, but nevertheless, think of a different theological word, and let's see if we can set it to music. What do you got? Angels.
Okay.
Angel.
That works.
No, it doesn't work. Nor does this. How's about we sing a song before communion? Table, 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 table. You'd go, what is the matter with you? Exactly. These types of ecstatic worship services with their spontaneous worship. If any other word were chosen, it would be revealed to be the nonsense that it is. Even the Ohio Players only repeated it a couple of times. Let's get to the originally intended search for a song, though. Please, Friel, no!
The Church is one foundation, is Jesus Christ the Lord.
Church news.
He is His new creation, Thy Spirit.
Yeah, with a little entertainment news. The movies, shall we? In fact, I'm planning on it. I hope we're going to be able to make it. I think it opened last weekend, a movie called A Great Awakening. I think it's the story of George Whitefield and Benjamin Franklin, the open air preacher who had a booming voice. By the way, some of the stories that are told about George Whitefield, that he could basically, people who were 100 yards back at one of his open air events, they could hear him crystal clear. And you think, oh, that just must be some sort of a legend. Well, there were enough people who said, no, this guy's voice thundered. I actually know two guys now who are like that. Josh, who's in Great Britain. You're in Great Britain right now, bro. And he's on staff as an evangelist doing open air preaching. And when he preaches, I'm telling you, Josh Williamson's voice, it just thunder somehow just rattles around inside of them, comes out magnified. And our Sunday school teacher at Alpharetta Bible Church, by the way, Jimmy, I went a whole day this week without mentioning First Peter being preached at Alpharetta Bible Church.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, because, well, you know, I don't want to just, you know, beat the horse about us preaching through First Peter at Alpharetta Bible Church.org. Our Sunday school teacher, Eric, his voice, when he calls the class to attention, you jump. It can be done. Some guys, they just have these thunderous voices. That was George Whitefield, and a movie is being made about him, his open-air preaching, and his relationship with Ben Franklin, who at best was a deist. It's called A Great Awakening. And what kind of pushed me over the edge, I saw the trailer for it. It looked pretty good. But then Ryan sent the lyrics to a song that is inside of the movie. And I read the lyrics, and I went, well, this is pretty good stuff. This is actually like better than, I don't know, most worship these days. Sorry. From the oceans through the valleys, from the mainland to the shore, let your kingdom be awakened in the hearts of men once more. Call your children into freedom, captive souls to liberty. Come awaken, Holy Spirit. Come awaken us today.
Fuego, 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 fuego.
Love unending, grace unyielding, tender mercies from thy throne. Brings the lost souls into families, calls the wayward sinner home. Bring salvation, great Redeemer. Uh-oh. Guess what word is in here, Jimmy?
What's that?
Holy fire fanned aflame. Uh-oh. Come restore us. Come revive us. Come awaken us today. The holy fire thing concerns me a little bit, but there's nothing wrong with asking God to set our hearts on fire for him. The problem, of course, is these days it's, well, needless to say, it's kind of been abused. How can you go to these things year after year and get it whipped up? How can you be the worship leader and jump around on the stage to get it whipped up? I'm hoping to go to the movie tomorrow night. I think it's open around the country. I'll let you know what my take is on it. Not that I'm a Siskel or an Ebert. Nevertheless, a great awakening. It looks good, Jimmy. We'll see. I'll give you the review on Monday.
Okay.
We're actually, you know what we're going to do with this movie? We're going on a date night.
If you're going to the movies on a date, you've been saving up for a while.
Oh, is it that? It's crazy, isn't it?
Don't worry.
We won't be buying the popcorn.
Smuggle your stuff in.
What, Jimmy?
Everybody does it.
Everybody doesn't do it.
That makes it okay.
Okay, fine. We'll let you know. We just don't do a lot of date nights. I'm not bragging on that because I'm not sure it's a good thing. I'm just saying this is going to be something unique. A story number two from Church News. This is good news. The Supreme Court actually ruled against Colorado, and it was 8-1 regarding Colorado's conversion therapy ban. This has implications on the church. They struck down the law that bans licensed professionals from engaging in therapy with minors seeking to change their sexual orientation or help kids with gender dysphoria accept their sex. Now, this may or may not have implications for biblical counselors because they tend to not be licensed. Nevertheless, a conversion ban, we've seen what's happened up in Canada, haven't we? That you can't, in fact, the latest legislation, you can't speak about these things. You will be arrested for that. Because somebody who actually comes to you and says, hey, I have these attractions. I don't want them. Can you help me? The church has to say, well, at the risk of being arrested, sure. Otherwise, you're going to have to go elsewhere. Or we're just going to have to get arrested for doing what is right. Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson was the lone dissent, arguing that as a licensed medical professional, that these people that are trying to help people convert doesn't enjoy the broad First Amendment protections others do. So in other words, because they're a doctor, they can't speak what they actually believe because they believe that the ability for somebody to express their gender, That needs to be enshrined in the Constitution. Speaking of good news, this isn't really a church issue, but nevertheless, Scottish Parliament rejects assisted suicide. This is a big deal. Assisted dying for terminally ill patients. It's the name of the bill. It would have allowed the terminally ill, mentally competent adults who are residents in Scotland for at least a year. Hey, we got some standards. To receive medical assistance to end their lives. Medical assistance to end their lives. Medical. We're aiding you in dying because that's what the medical profession is all about. Aiding you in dying. Assisted dying. The lingo that people use to shield and to mask what is downright evil. Okay, so I'm going to pass an assisted poisoning bill. That's what we're assisted body mutilation. Let's call it that and see if that passes in the Scottish Parliament. Thankfully, and it will just be a matter of time, frankly, I think, yep, the vote was 69 to 57 against the proposal. So for now, they won't be experiencing what's going on in Canada, but it's really just a matter of time. Scotland has the Scottish Church, it's my understanding, has never been as conservative as the Church of England. Now, consider the status of the Church of England right now. And that kind of gives you then a good idea where the Church of Scotland is at. This is Fiery Wretched Radio.
No retreat. That's the name of Fortis Institute's Spring Match campaign, and we chose that name for a reason. The church has been quietly backing up for years. A doctrine gets a little uncomfortable, a truth sounds a little too exclusive, so we set it aside. And before long, the gospel sounds more like an apology than an announcement. Fortis Institute is determined to push the other direction, to encourage churches to hold fast to hard truth and to proclaim the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ rightly and loudly. That's why we're inviting you to join us on the No Retreat Spring Match Campaign. Right now, through the end of May, every dollar you give is matched, dollar for dollar, and your gift will help launch two new podcasts, publish Todd Friel's new book, Go Serve Your King, through HarperCollins, and fund gospel proclamation on college campuses. The gospel doesn't move backward, and neither should we. You can find out more right now at fortisinstitute.org/donate.
Ask most Christians what they know about hermeneutics, and you'll likely get, Herman who? That sounds like somebody's uncle. Is that the guy that always comes and just stays quiet in the back of the small group? Hermeneutics is actually the art and science of interpreting scripture, and if you don't know how to do it rightly, you're going to read the Bible wrongly. Worse, you're actually going to be an easy target for every false teacher with a podcast and a proof text. Herman Hu is basically a master's level education in how to read the Bible correctly, and it's condensed into something that you can actually finish. You'll learn how to interpret a 2,000-year-old book in a 21st century world without twisting it into something it was never meant to say. By the end of it, you'll never read scripture the same way again, and you'll never have the wool pulled over your eyes by someone who sounds competent but doesn't know what they're talking about. Herman Hu, it is streaming right now for free on Fortis Plus. Download the app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org. So we decided to run the gospel through a focus group, and they loved the part about love. Then came the notes. Sin? Well, it sounds a little bit harsh, so they suggested we call it personal brokenness. Hell? Well, that's a big negative. Maybe spiritual separation? Saying Jesus is the only way? Well, that's just intolerant. You have to make him one of many meaningful paths. And the call to repent and believe, that just raises a little bit of friction. How about like and subscribe? We thank them for their time and kept the message. If you're done rounding off the edges, Witness Wednesday here at Wretched Radio will help you share the real gospel, a holy God, real sin, a just wrath, a crucified and risen Savior, and a clear call to repent and believe. And we'll do it kindly, clearly, and without the sales pitch. It's Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. You can listen to your heart's content at fortisplus.org.
God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is administration, the spiritual ability to guide, govern, manage, and correct. Church leaders are charged with keeping the church on the biblical path. As God has given that charge, He has also provided the gifts which enable us to fulfill that charge. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You're welcome. I just put it in the trash, so I won't be tempted. This is Wretched Radio. Not that I need to play the Fuego song again, because let's be honest, it is stuck in all of our noggins. You talk about an earworm. Zoink, Scoob. Let's get to church news here on Wretched Radio, shall we? A question that was asked by George Barna. Are young adults engaging more at church? This seems to be somewhat anecdotal, but nevertheless, 2 in 5 senior pastors say their church has experienced higher engagement among Gen Z and millennials. 45% say, yeah, we're seeing more kids come to church, specifically boys. 40% of pastors report increased engagement among men ages 18 to 35. Larger, non-mainline churches led by younger pastors are most likely to report rising engagement among young adults. Larger, non-mainline churches would indicate not Protestant, mainline Protestant churches, which could be another signal that evangelical churches, ones that are preaching conservatively, are growing. Protestantism in America, it is, I'm telling you, it's limping on three legs, maybe two legs at this point. Can you limp with two legs if you're a dog? Kind of, I guess, you'd sort of bounce is what you'd basically do. I'm not a veterinarian. The point is Protestantism in America, because of its liberal drift, is shrinking. Now, please note, there are still some conservative Methodists. There are still some conservative Lutherans and Presbyterians. But the mainline denominations that have historically been the foundation of this country, they're crumbling. And it isn't because they're preaching the Bible. Let's hope that it's a trend. I don't know that it's accurate or not. Interestingly, churches in the West, followed by leaders in the Northeast, are ahead of those in the South and Midwest in terms of increased engagement, especially among Gen Z. I don't, maybe they're just so fed up with the liberalism. That could be it. I think young men are so tired of being feminized and so shamed for just being a dude who just wants to do dude stuff. Maybe this is the whiplash from that. Why the decline of marriage is driving America's faith crisis? That's the question that was asked in the Christian Post. I have a different answer. Faith, writes this article, didn't collapse in America over the last 40 years because of secularism's inevitable march or the triumph of reason. It collapsed because of marriage's demise. This author is contending that the lack of faith is the result of a lack of marriage, because faith follows family. And is the case that he tries to make is when there's a dad in the house, when he's a believer, then the rest of the family tends to follow dad. But I would suggest to you the exact opposite. The reason that marriage is crumbling is because faith is diminishing everything. The headwaters are faith. It's always faith. That is true for government. That is true for family. That's true for morality. It is downstream from faith. Why are fewer people getting married? Because, well, fewer people are getting saved. George Barna, he has his second installment of his American Worldview Inventory for 2026. And it examined the level of biblical alignment across eight specific categories of beliefs and behavior that form the foundation of a person's worldview. Once again, I think George does a pretty good job at this. He tries to, rather than just saying, hey, what are you, and accepting their answer, he tries to qualify them. And then he asks them questions. So this particular report revealed the overwhelming majority of respondents had little to no biblical alignment. Not a shocker, but think about these churches and what they're preaching. With the sermon that we listened to earlier this week, where the dude's telling stories about going on the treadmill at the gym, it's like, what? And how we've watered down preaching, and we're seeing this. I really experienced it. Was it last Monday? We were at G-Tech, talked to about 10 kids. None of them really had any understanding whatsoever of the gospel. Some of them went to church, but they're not hearing anything. Why? Because we've determined we've got to take theology out. It's just too difficult. It's too hard for people. It's too boring. It's not relevant. People want fuego, fuego, fuego. They want cool. They want hip. They want groovy pastors, and they want anecdotes. They want TED Talks. So we've given it to them, and you see it. And do you remember that it was at a Christian university, the 100 kids that were asked, why are you a Christian? They couldn't articulate their... This is the fruit of dumbing down theology. This whole approach to kids that we come down to their level or below them in an effort to amuse them into the kingdom, assimilate them into the kingdom, is just wrong. And it is so abiblical. And for if we young people... We should be like shoving them to like, hey, mature. Hey, we need to get you grown up. Hey, we need to get you thinking adult thoughts and doing adult things, even if your peers aren't doing it. And yet the church, in its just incessant effort to trivialize the faith, to water it down. George Barna shouldn't be shocked that he's seeing these particular results. 19% of respondents had a worldview reflecting full biblical engagement. 13% had some biblical engagement. 68% had little to no biblical alignment. Ouch, that hurts. The fruit of dumbing down church. Pete Hegseth, he sees a similarity between U.S. airmen rescue and the resurrection at a press conference on Monday. Quote, this is regarding that soldier, that pilot that was rescued. Very cool. A lot of the world, it seems, can't understand why America would spend so much money and effort and actually risk more lives to save a life. Really? That's complicated? I don't get it. First of all, it's an image bearer, so we make every effort to save image bearers, unlike what they're doing in Canada. Furthermore, if a soldier doesn't know that his nation has his back, that ain't going to be a very good soldier, tell you that much. Would you risk your life if you knew that we weren't willing to risk ours to save you if you got in trouble? Nevertheless, he said this, quote, shot down on a Friday, Good Friday, hidden in a cave, a crevice, all of Saturday, and rescued on Sunday, flown out of Iran as the sun was rising on Easter Sunday, a pilot reborn. I guess it's reasonable to mention it's Good Friday and Easter, but if that's sort of supposed to be, and it happened on Good Friday, and it happened on Easter Sunday. And how am I supposed to interpret that? What is the message there? What's the implication of suggesting that there's some sort of correlation between the two? The answer is, I can't think of any. Can you? N.T. Wright, this is Christian Post. N.T. Wright has a podcast. It's called Ask N.T. Wright Anything. Jimmy? Let's see if we're on the same page. His podcast is called Ask N.T. Wright Anything. Mm-hmm. If you could add one word to that podcast, what would it be?
Ask, if I could add one word?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Biblical?
No.
What?
No. Don't.
Because he couldn't. Yeah, well, that's true.
Don't ask N.T. Wright anything.
Don't ask.
Anything. I mean anything. Just don't ask him anything. Get ready for some waffling and some obfuscation. Somebody asked the question, hey, what about the people who have never heard the gospel? Here's the quote. This is Chin Boogie. Whenever you hear equivocation like this, you're listening most likely to a universalist. Quote from N.T. Wright. The judge of all the earth will do right. God is God. And it's our job to stand back and let God do his job. Well, he's going to do his job whether we stand back or not, whatever that means. But that's the way of introducing it and saying, hey, don't feel bad if he does, but I'm not going to commit to if he doesn't. I'm just going to waffle all over the place. He pointed to Cornelius in the book of Acts because he was devout before hearing the gospel. Well, that's because he was practicing the Jewish faith. He was devout. It doesn't mean that he was saved or not saved. It doesn't mean that he was actually saved. Therefore, he was devout. Then he heard the gospel. That's nonsense. Wright also highlighted that he described as a recurring pattern in missionary history, individuals in non-Christian cultures sensing a higher truth before encountering Christianity. No, there is no higher truth. There's either truth or there's not. It didn't have a higher truth. You must hear the name of Jesus Christ to be saved. How will they hear unless they are sent? N.T. Wright. Quote, some people say, we always thought there must be something like this, suggesting that such experiences may reflect a form of divine preparation. Well, yeah, but what does that have to do with answering the question? He resisted definitive claims about who is in or out, urging believers to trust in God's mercy. Boy, you can just hear the missionary organizations jumping for joy at that comment. There's no need to go if God's saving people without hearing. Quote, I would want to back off from an over-precise analysis of who's in and who's out. Okay, then let's let Jesus do it. He who believes in me has the Father. He who does not believe in me does not have the Father either. You don't need to draw lines, NT. You just need to read what the Bible clearly says. And this, sir, is why we go. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.